Today's episode is a rerun. Sorry. Tony should be back with a new episode next week.
Hi, my name is Tony Thaxton. Like anyone else, I love a great album. But I also love those strange albums that might make you wonder how and why they even exist. But I'm not here to make fun of them. I'm here to celebrate them and tell their story. This is Bizarre Albums. Today's episode, The Shags, Philosophy of the World, from 1969. Austin Wiggin Jr. was a mill worker in Fremont, New Hampshire. As a child, he thought the world of his mother. She liked to do palm readings and predict the future. She told Austin that he would marry a strawberry blonde woman, have two sons who she would not live to see, and that his daughters would not only play in a band, but be the biggest girl group in America. Well, Austin did end up marrying a strawberry blonde woman, and he and his wife had two sons after his mother passed away. So now he felt his daughters had to form a band. He pulled his three daughters, Betty, Helen, and Dorothy, who also goes by Dot, out of school. He told them they would be taking voice and music lessons and forming a band. Austin Wiggin was strict with them, especially about the band, and he was in charge of all of it, even picking their name, The Shags, named partially after shag haircuts that were popular at the time, as well as the Disney film The Shaggy Dog.
What are you so happy about?
Gosh, Wooby, you know you're a lot more fun as a dog than you are as my brother.
Ah, shut up and get me out of here.
But Austin Wiggin never bothered to ask his daughters if they wanted any of these things. He told them that's what they were doing. Here's Betty and Dorothy Wiggin talking to John Ronson from the BBC.
We'd practice during the day while he worked, and then when he came home from work, we'd practice sometimes before supper, and sometimes he's very strict. We practiced until it's the way he liked it. If he didn't like it, we'd do one song over and over and over. And then usually on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Two.
So was he kind of in charge of everything?
Yes.
Yes, he was.
The Wiggin sisters never had any ambition to be musicians. They'd never even seen a concert in their life. Their father wouldn't allow it. He barely allowed them to listen to music. He was so strict that he discouraged even a lot of their friendships and didn't allow them to date. He wanted them just to focus on the band. He dreamed of one day seeing them on the Ed Sullivan Show. The Shags played their first show in 1968. The girls didn't think they were ready to play in front of an audience, but their father disagreed. They were booed and had soda cans thrown at them. They were mortified. But afterward, Austin told them they just had to practice more. The internet is full of conflicting reports about when the Shags first went into the recording studio. The 2016 Light in the Attic reissue contains a booklet written by Lenny Kaye, and it says 1967 is when Austin Wiggin told his daughters they were ready. Other sources say 1968. Some, including an in-depth profile by Susan Orlean from The New Yorker, say 1969. Austin took his daughters to Fleetwood, a recording studio outside of Boston. It was about an hour and a half away from Fremont. The girls were in their late teens and early 20s at the time. While some details of when the session was and who exactly was there are fuzzy, one detail is certain. The Wiggin sisters did not want to be there. They've since said so on record, but they felt they couldn't say this to Austin at the time. Reports even differ on who the engineer was for their recording session. Some, including the liner notes from the Light in the Attic reissue, credit Bob Olive as the engineer. But those same liner notes also say that Russ Hamm was the engineer on the day they showed up. More on this confusion in a bit. In the liner notes, Hamm says, quote, "It was bizarre. They set up drums and two guitars. They started playing, and I mean, it's hard not to burst out laughing." What is going on here? I turned to Austin and I said, "Look, I'm not a guitar player, but I think I can tune those guitars." And he looked at me and says, "No, no, those guitars are guaranteed. I bought those guitars from Ted Herbert's Music Mart in Manchester. They're the finest guitars, and they're guaranteed." End quote. Fleetwood had a four-track, half-inch Scully tape machine. They used only three of the tracks, one for drums, one for vocals, and both guitars on a single track. Betty and Dot both played guitar into the same amp. The amp had two inputs, so they felt they didn't need a second amp. The story goes that Austin paid $200 or $300 cash, wrapped in cellophane, for the session. Word of all of this had gotten to an entrepreneurial local producer named Charlie Dreyer. Dreyer convinced Austin to let him release the Shags session as an album. He told him he would press 1,000 copies of the album, but he quickly disappeared, taking Austin's money and leaving them with only 100 copies. And now Austin would try and do what he could with those 100 copies. In 1969, the Shags released Philosophy of the World on Third World Recordings. The back of the album reads, "The Shags are real, pure, unaffected by outside influences. Their music is different, and it's theirs alone." Those words were written by Austin Wiggin, and he's not wrong about that. The album kicks off with its title track.
Oh, the rich people want what the poor people's got, and the poor people want what the rich people's got, and the skinny people want what the fat people's got, and the fat people want what the skinny people's got. You can never get anybody in this world.
With the 100 copies of the album that he had in his possession, Austin sent the album to progressive rock stations in Boston, college towns, and he sold copies at the weekly shows he set up for his daughters at the Fremont Town Hall. The Shags would play for 2 or 3 hours every week, playing a mix of their own songs with covers of The Beatles, Johnny Cash, and Herman's Hermits. Here's more of Betty and Dot talking with John Ronson at the BBC about those town hall dances.
Kids just pick on us and this and that, you know, say how bad we were, so...
Yeah, make fun of us.
Yeah.
Was it upsetting?
Embarrassing. I think to me it was just embarrassing.
There was a sports car on the road.
But before those town hall shows, the Shags played a gig on Halloween at a Fremont nursing home. Not the only time they played there, by the way. And they debuted their song, It's Halloween. It's Halloween got a polite response, which then inspired Austin to arrange their town hall shows.
It's Halloween, it's Halloween, it's time for scares, it's time for screams. It's Halloween, it's Halloween. The ghost will spook, the spook will scare. Why, even Dracula will be there. It's time for games, it's time for fun. Not for just one, but for every...
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Dot wrote all of the band's songs. In an interview with Rolling Stone in 2016, Corey Groh asked Dot what inspired her to write track 3, Who Are Parents? Her reply, quote, I don't really know. I always respected our parents, even though my father was strict and old-fashioned. There were a lot of kids who didn't respect their parents and gave them a hard time, so I was probably trying to get the message across to them. End quote.
Some kids do as they please. They don't know what life really means. They don't listen to what the ones who really care have to say. They just go and do things their own way. Who are parents? Parents are the ones who really care. Who are parents? Parents are the ones who are always there.
Believe it or not, a single was released for the song My Pal Foot Foot, and this may be where some of the engineer confusion comes from. According to Discogs.com, Russ Hamm was the uncredited engineer for this single. And the single was actually released a year prior to Philosophy of the World. It was released on Fleetwood Records, the recording studio's own record label that usually released sports teams' championship season recap albums, drum and bugle corps albums, and auto racing sounds albums. The 45 also misspells the band's name, using only one G. My Pal Foot Foot was a song about the family's cat running away. The back cover of Philosophy of the World even features a strange drawing of Foot Foot by Dot. Under it, it reads, Where is Foot Foot?
Footfoot, he always likes to roam. My pal's name is Footfoot. I never find him home. I go to his house, knock at his door. People come out and say, Footfoot, don't live here no more. My pal Footfoot, Footfoot, always likes to roam. My pal Footfoot, Footfoot, now he has no home.
In 1973, the town supervisors in Fremont decided to end the Saturday night town hall dances. Austin was furious, but the sisters were glad it was over. Helen ended up secretly marrying a man she met at one of the dances. She still lived at home for another 3 months after getting married because she was terrified to tell her father. When she finally told him, he got a shotgun and went after her husband. Her husband escaped, but it would be months before Helen and her father spoke again.
I'm so happy when you're near. I'm so sad when you're away. I've been happy almost every day now that you're here to stay. But when you have to leave, then I've got to leave.
The Shags continued to play shows around Fremont, but the band came to a sudden end in 1975 when Austin Wiggin died of a heart attack. He was just 47 years old. The sisters no longer had to play music, so they just stopped and didn't look back. But a few years later, something very unexpected happened.
You're like a magnet. I'm like a piece of steel. The way you break.
That's the New Rhythm and Blues Quartet, better known as NRBQ. The band's saxophonist, Keith Spring, had gotten a copy of Philosophy of the World from a friend who owned a record store. He dubbed it onto a cassette and played it for the band on the way to a show. Terry Adams, the lead singer of NRBQ, was immediately intrigued and wanted to find a way to release the album. NRBQ had started their own label, Red Rooster Records, after they were dropped from Columbia in the early 70s. So Adams then tracked down the Wiggin sisters and tells them he wants to release their record. Dot's husband's first question was, how much is that going to cost us? When Adams explained they would actually be getting paid for the record, things moved forward. Philosophy of the World was officially re-released on Red Rooster Records in 1980.
About your love, but most of all, I wonder why you make me cry.
11 years after its initial extremely limited release, the Shags were suddenly getting some notice. Some reviews have called it the worst album ever made, but there's also a lot of positive reviews. Deborah Ray Cohen of Rolling Stone reviewed the 1980 reissue, saying, quote, "Philosophy of the World is the sickest, most stunningly awful, wonderful record I've heard in ages," end quote. In Rolling Stone's 1980 Rock and Roll Awards, they named the Shags Comeback of the Year.
Sometimes I feel funny.
The legend of the Shags continued to grow over the years. Kurt Cobain once listed Philosophy of the World at number 5 on his list of 50 all-time favorite albums. Frank Zappa said the Shags were better than the Beatles. Better than the Beatles would also be the name of a Shags tribute album released in 2001, featuring artists such as Deerhoof.
My husband is good. He always likes to run. My husband is good. I never find him home. I go to
RCA Victor released Philosophy of the World on CD in 1999. The band has even reunited to play a few shows over the last 20 years. Dot is the only member of the band who even attempted anything further with music. She formed the Dot Wiggin Band in 2013, even releasing an album titled Ready, Get, Go. In addition to new material she wrote, the album also features new recordings of previously unreleased Shag songs. Helen Wiggin unfortunately passed away in 2006. Back in 2000, the Shags' original recording of the song Philosophy of the World was the opening track on a compilation that was released called Songs in the Key of Z, The Curious Universe of Outsider Music. The album also featured a song by a man who, at one time, would record individual copies of his albums by recording on cassette, using a boombox, and performing them in their entirety over and over. Daniel Johnston. But that is for another time. Thank you for listening to Bizarre Albums. If you like the show, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps people find the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Bizarre Albums, and I'm at Tony Thaxton. You can also like Bizarre Albums on Facebook and visit bizarrealbums.com. And if you still want more Bizarre Albums in your life, sign up for weekly bonus episodes of Bizarre Singles and more at patreon.com/bizarrealbums. And as always, if you know of a Bizarre Album you'd like to hear featured, please tweet the show. I'd love to hear from you. You can even email me at bizarrealbums@gmail.com. My name is Tony Thaxton, and I'll see you next time on Bizarre Albums.